And I hope tonight will just kind of be one of them messages that just encourages you in the upcoming year just to keep doing what you've been doing. Ain't no need in changing, amen? If it's working, if it ain't, the old statement is, if it ain't broke, amen, don't fix it. Amen. You go trying to fix something that ain't broke, you're going to break it. And I hope this message will just encourage you. And maybe Lord will give me some liberty to be able to just praise on you a little while. I felt like the last message we tried to preach, it took us several services. I felt like I was preaching something foreign and strange to y'all. And I hope that it settled into your heart. And you say, I just don't understand or I don't get it. Well, get the CD and listen to it over and over again. And the messages on why God gave you a pastor is your pastor's heart about my ministry. And I understand a lot of ways. Me and Doc Wells' ministries is similar. A lot of ways they're not similar. And as we move forward, thank God for a good year. But as we move forward, you got to understand your pastor's heart and what we're trying to do here in these days. That don't mean it was wrong in the past. But we are moving forward. That's been our theme, and we're thankful the Lord has let us do that. We're thankful for the past. We praise God for the past and all His blessings, but we're moving forward. All right, stand with me. Romans chapter number 16. Brother Chad, just a little more in my ear, not going out, okay? Romans chapter number 16. Notice with me, if you will, let's begin reading. Let's just read two verses tonight. And I'm going to do something, y'all going to laugh when I say it, but if you'll give me about 32 and a half minutes, I'll be done, okay? And Brother Will can shake his head no back there all he wants. I'm going to show you that miracles can happen, all right? Romans chapter number 16, verse number 3 and verse number 4. The Bible said, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles." I'm interested tonight in what Paul said about Priscilla and Aquila in verse number 4. When he recalled to mind the ministry they had in his ministry, he said, "Who have for my life laid down their own necks." Now, I want to preach tonight, if the Lord will help me, on this thought, sticking your neck out for the man of God. Sticking your neck out for the man of God. Father, we love you tonight. I do pray that you'd help us. God, you know my heart's to be an encouragement. And Lord, there's a lot of things about preaching a message like this that's hard when you're preaching to the people that you pastor. And yet, you've led our heart and you've led our minds to this passage. And so, God, I pray that you give us the boldness we need to preach it. And Father, give us the spirit that we need to preach it in. And Lord, may every heart be encouraged. And may Calvary Baptist Tabernacle, even as a result of the truth of the Word of God, rise up, march forward in days to come. And may we realize we have a work to do together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. As Paul comes to the 16th chapter of the book of Romans, as we come to it, we understand that Paul's letter is going to close out. And Paul is going to begin to speak and give a word of thanksgiving as he recalls certain members of the church to which he is writing. And he's going to point out some commendations toward them and things that they have done and things that they have accomplished and people that have meant something to him. He's going to praise them for the ministry that they had in his life and in his ministry. None less important were the two characters that we read about tonight in verse 3 and 4. He said, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus." We understand tonight as we come to these verses, Paul is writing to a married couple. This is a family, a husband and a wife, and had meant a lot to the Apostle Paul. He begins to praise them for their individual ministry of being a blessing to his ministry. And he praises them as his helpers in Christ Jesus. And we study Aquila and Priscilla. We're mindful that they're mentioned throughout the book of Acts and in other places in the Word of God. And they stand out, in my opinion, out as the greatest couple, one of the greatest couples in the Word of God, and particularly in that of the New Testament. My friend, they were used mightily in the early church, and God used them and their marriage and their life to be a blessing to that early church, and in particular to the ministry of Paul and even other men of God, as we'll see in a moment. And I give you several things tonight just by way of introduction. Now you got to listen fast. Amen. If I'm going to preach in 32 and a half minutes, you got to listen in 32 and a half minutes. Amen. Go with me, if you will, back to the book of Acts and in chapter number 18. And we find the introduction to this couple that Paul praises in the end of his ministry. Otis with me here in Acts chapter number 18. And in verse number 2 and 3, the Bible, look in verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. And so Paul's entering into the city of Corinth, and the Bible said, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because in Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and he came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrote. That just simply means that Paul and Aquila and Priscilla got busy and put their hands to work, and my friend labored together. And the Bible said, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And so Paul comes into this city, Corinth. He's going to begin to preach. My friend, before he begins his ministry there, the Spirit of God leads him to be introduced to this man and this woman, this husband and wife, by the name of Aquila and Priscilla. It's interesting to me. And the first thing I want to note about them is that which the Holy Ghost notes about them is that they were a laboring couple. They was a couple, a married couple, that knew what it was to be involved in hard work. Tent making in them days was my friend. Listen, that was hard labor. That was laborious. That was, my friend, something you'd sweat at it. And my friend, it exerted a lot of energy. And yet we find that this couple was involved in laboring. What are you saying, Brother Jeff? I'm saying they wasn't lazy and they weren't deadbeats. They didn't have a mentality, my friend, that somebody owed them something. But my friend, they was willing to get out and work with their own hands and make their own living and make their own way through life. And my friend, they were laboring. They were a laboring couple. You understand tonight that laziness, my friend, is killing our generation. Not only in the world. I mean, man, we could blow that out. I'm not against helping folk that are down and in need. And my friend, had legitimate issues. Hey, man, if you got a need tonight, we want to help you. But, my friend, I'm convinced, and there's a lot of folk that have raised up and have a mentality that this world owes them something. Hey, man, world don't owe me anything, and you don't owe me anything tonight, and I don't owe you anything this evening. Hey, man, and that mentality has crept into our generation. And by the way, it's gotten worse in the last 6 years, and I'll let you figure all that out. But it ain't getting better. It's getting worse. Amen. Food stamps. Amen. And government phones. And government phones and food stamps. Amen. Is killing our generation. Amen. This you owe me something mentality. Amen. I'd hate to know. Listen to that. I'd hate to know. Amen. I was too sorry and lazy to labor and work and make my way through life. Amen. Hallelujah. I like this. He was willing to work alongside the man of God. And they welcomed Paul into their home and into their business of making tents. Amen. You got a working preacher and you got a working couple, and they're laboring together. And I say this tonight, you want to really get to know somebody, work with them. There's a lot of people I had a good high opinion of until we went to work together. Amen. Amen. I found out they was lazy and sorry and, amen, didn't know how to use the right end of a shovel. Amen, that pointy end. Amen, that's the end of the shovel you're supposed to put in the ground. Can I get a witness? We better pray in this generation we find some way, amen, to dig ditches with Nintendo controllers and keyboards. Y'all okay? Amen. This couple, what I like about them when I'm introduced to them, they are a laboring couple. They're not lazy. Notice with me in the same chapter, I noted this, that they're not only a laboring couple, but they were a learned couple. The Bible said in verse 24, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born of Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scripture, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom with Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And these weren't individuals. This was not a couple that thought they knew more than everybody else, but my friend, they had sat at the feet of the Apostle Paul, that had been taught the Word of God, had been taught the way of God more perfectly themselves, they had been taught themselves, and now have grown to the point in their Christian life where they're able to teach somebody else. I like that about them. And my friend, they didn't have a know-it-all mentality. And my friend, they were able to be taught and take the things they had been taught and communicated to other people. It's amazing when Apollos showed up in town, my friend, they could actually sit down and talk the Bible with another man of God. Amen. I get worried about these folks say they're saved, and they can talk to you about the ball game, and they can talk to you about the races, and they can talk to you about, amen, deer hunting, and they can talk to you, amen, about pickup trucks, and they can talk to you about work and about business, and about this and about that. When you go talking about the Bible, amen, they start looking for an exit door. Amen. Claim to be saved 10, 15, 20 years and more. Amen. You ought to have done learned something by now, or you can carry on a spiritual, biblical conversation. They're a learned couple. I'd like to preach on their being a laboring couple and a learned couple. But, amen, and listen to me tonight. In Romans chapter number 16, I find that they were a loyal couple. Notice what Paul said as he's beginning to commend a certain believers here in the church that is at Rome. Amen, in verse 1 and 2, he commends Phoebe and begins to brag on her and tells the church that they need to receive her in the Lord, and that if she has any need, that they're to meet that need, that because she's faithful, amen, and has been one that has had great compassion and been a helper, my friend, of those that were in need herself. Notice with me, as soon as he's done there, his mind is immediately drawn to this couple, Aquila and Priscilla. And he said, I tell you about them, that they're my helpers in Christ Jesus. And he makes his statement, who have for my life laid down their own necks. And when you study Paul's ministry in the book of Acts, we don't know, my friend, where this couple has laid down their necks for Paul. We don't know what situations it was that my friend, they rose up and had been loyal to the man of God. But evidently, amen, there was something, my friend, in Paul's ministry, if not one time, several times, and it stood out that Aquila and Priscilla, when everybody else was walking away, that they stood by his side. And when everybody else was wanting to kill Paul, that's looking at a way, my friend, again, Paul escaped out of danger. Evidently, my friend, Paul, and he begins to think about them, he begins, my friend, thanking them as his thoughts go to the times that they had been loyal, even to the point of laying down their necks for him and his ministry.
and I say that's something that's missing in our day, and I'm not necessarily preaching to Calvary. Amen. I know this, in a year you've been low, and in a year you've proved that you live in death. Amen. I pray to God, amen, 20 years from now, amen, you hadn't changed colors. Amen, you ain't gone a different way. But Paul says that this couple, Aquila and Priscilla, they are a loyal couple that when you can't count on anybody else, he could count on them. And I say that's the kind of, amen, that's the kind of folk that God can take and use, my friend, in preacher's ministry. He said, and I know when you preach stuff like this, people come back and they say, well, you're trying to build a kingdom and you're trying to build a following after your own self. Amen, if you've known me over the last year, you know this evening. Amen, I ain't out to build my own name. I ain't out to make you a disciple of Jeff. Amen, but in the work of God, God had, amen, put Paul in Aquila and Priscilla's life, amen, to be, amen, a leader to them, and to be a spiritual, amen, overseer of their lives. And they got to the place where they began to appreciate that. And my friend, they didn't take it for granted. And they didn't take it as a late thing and a casual thing. And Paul said they proved it, amen, when they had to put their own neck on the land, they proved that they meant everything they said when everything was good. And I say anybody can say tonight, and I've had them say it. Amen. I've had them. Ain't we have them, had them say it, Mama, when everything's going good. Brother Jeff, we love you, and we'll be there. If there's ever a fight, bless God, we'll be on your side. Amen. Until it came time for them to put their necks on the line. Until it came to the place where it was their family that it got upset and they had to make a decision between red and roe, amen, and put their own necks on the line till it cost them something. My friend, listen, can I say, amen, and I appreciate folks that had the same preacher we love you, and preacher, we'll be there, and preacher, no matter come what may, we're for you and behind you. Amen, I've heard that crowd say we're behind you, preacher, and when you really needed them, you turned around, and sure enough, there's behind you, so far behind you, there's about that small, amen, and I say that ain't the way that it ought to be, amen, I'm not impressed with what you say, amen, when everything's going good, amen, the day will come, are you listening to me tonight, Calvary, amen, it's been a good year, amen, we ain't had no apple carts upset, I don't think, my friend, the day will come, there'll be a situation raised, amen, where it won't be easy and it won't be popular, amen, and we'll find out if you're willing to put your neck on the line. He said they laid their neck down for Paul's sake. You know what Paul's saying? He said they weren't afraid to stick their neck out for the man of God. Can I say in this hour, that's what we need. There's too many people trying to handcuff the pastor and they chew him up and they spit him out and they don't like this and they don't like that. And people who ain't ever pastored a pea patch, much less a Baptist church, amen, think that they know more than the man of God does. You say, I've been saved 40 years. I don't care if you've been saved 40 years. Amen, you better keep your nose out of the man of God's business. Amen. You say if he'd do it this way and do it that way, amen, there might be a reason. Ain't it amazing God didn't call you to be the pastor? Ain't it amazing God didn't look down and say, man, there's somebody so brilliant and smart, I think I'll let them be the pastor today. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you, amen, that we don't need men of God bound, and we don't need them standing alone. We don't need them after them putting their own neck out on the line all by themselves. Paul said, I tell you what I love about that couple, that when everything got hard, amen, and people began to leave, that family was willing to stick their neck out for the man of God. Notice some things. You say, what's that mean? Now listen, y'all going to have to listen a little faster now. Y'all listening slow tonight. Watch this. Let me show you a book. Amen. I need that Romans 16 right there. Notice with me what Paul said there in that verse number 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila. Notice what he called them. My helpers in Christ Jesus. He did, when he thought about, when he's sitting down thinking about people in the church and his thoughts come to Aquila and Priscilla, he didn't have thoughts that they had hindered his ministry. They had helped his ministry. Yeah, man, everybody okay? Yeah, man, you say, what does it mean? What is the evidence of the fact that they were sticking their necks out for the man of God according to verse number 3 and him calling them my helpers? I see tonight that they stuck their necks out for the man of God in that they were involved in his ministry. They got in the trenches with him. When Paul said, let's go knock doors, they was willing to go knock doors. Amen. And God help these bunch of pastors want everybody else to bring folk in and won't go knock doors themselves. Might as well say, man, I'm sick of it, this double standard. Amen. If you're supposed to knock doors, I'm supposed to knock doors. And you are supposed to knock doors. Might as well look on up in here. We are to get the gospel out. So said, and Paul said, when I think about Aquila and Priscilla, I'm reminded they were my helpers in Christ Jesus, and they was willing to stick their necks out for the man of God and get involved in his ministry. I spoke with two pastors this week, and if I called their name, you'd know both of them. You'd know one of them better than the other. But both of them men of God told me this week, said, Brother Jeff, we're still having good services, but I just don't know if my people are involved, if they've got a real heart or what God has put in my heart for our church and for our ministry. You know what they said? As Sam is wondering, when it really come down to it, was anybody going to put their necks on the lead and get involved and put their hands to the plow and be involved in the ministry God had raised him to have. Amen. Y'all with me now? The word my helpers, the word helpers here means a co-labor. Paul is saying there, they are my co-labors. I'm not in this alone. As long as Aquila and Priscilla's around, I know I can count on at least two being there and involving themselves in what God has raised me to do. It comes from another word. It means to be at union with or together. You know what Paul has said? And he said, they're my helpers. He said, they have a spirit of unity in being involved in my ministry. You know who get involved in the ministry of the man of God and help him accomplish what God has called him and put in his heart to do? People who have a spirit of togetherness. Not dividers. Not whisperers. Amen. Not people get on Facebook and I don't like this and I don't like that and I can't believe the church is going in that direction and the pastor is doing this. Amen. Not people that get on the telephone and call up, amen, Sister Wiggle Jaws and Sister Long Tongue getting together talking about everything they don't like. Amen. You know what they are? They're sowers of discord and Solomon said God hates that. God don't just dislike it. He just don't dislike it. He has an absolute hatred for people who sow discord. Paul said they're my helpers. They're willing to join alongside. It speaks of the fact that they were involved in a spirit of unity. They were involved putting their necks out for the man of God. Number 2. Y'all want a second one? We're about done. Not only involvement, their involvement in his ministry, but notice with me again in verse 4 where the Bible says here, where the Bible says here, who have for my life laid down their own necks. Number 2, not only in that they was involved in his ministry, but they were invested in his ministry. It cost them something. So much so that Paul said that they laid down their necks. The phrase laid down means to place underneath. It means to put in a place of hazard. It means and describes the sacrifice they had made or the advancement of what God was doing through the Apostle Paul. In other words, they said, we'll do whatever it takes. We'll give whatever it costs. We'll give till it hurts. We'll get in a place where it hurts us and the cause of Christ can be advanced. Yeah, man. What are they doing? They're investing themselves. No doubt they were invested physically. They were invested, no doubt, being working people. And no doubt being good at their job. They were invested financially. Obviously, they were invested spiritually in the ministry of the man of God. Let me ask you this tonight. How invested are you in your man of God's ministry? What have you given? If Paul was sitting down writing a letter of commendation about Calvary Baptist Tabernacle, if Brother Jeff was to do that, or Doc Wells is to do that, amen, if the Apostle Paul had a familiarity with this church, what would he say when he got to you? Could he say, there are people, that is a family, that is a Christian, that is a church member that has put it all on the line and invested themselves in the furtherance of the cause of Christ through what God has raised me up to do. Y'all okay? I wish I'd get more help than Brother Tim tonight. Amen. Investment, being invested, putting it on the line, sticking your neck out and saying, you know what? Amen. Physically, I'll be involved. Financially, I'll be involved. And spiritually, I'll be involved. I'll pray. I'll read my Bible. I'll stay clean before God. I'll invest myself so that when the occasion arises and somebody is needed, I'll be a vessel that is fit to be used in the work of God. It's sad, Brother Gerald, that some folk can't be used because they can't even show up to church. Yeah, man, I ain't trying to upset nobody, but bless God, the least you can do is show up to church. Yeah, man, everybody okay? I don't understand this crowd. A year ago, there's folk getting on fire, and after a year, hey, man, listen, they're starting to fizzle. Woo! God gave us a new pastor. We're going forward. Amen. And I mean, man, jumping the choir, and then all of a sudden, amen, they're coming in late and they're missing practice. Amen, friend, not showing up. Shame on folk. Amen. Shame on folk. I may have to add another 5 minutes right here. Y'all keep frowning. Amen. What is that? It's a lack of investment into, amen, what God has given you. Amen. Oh, we love what God's doing. Well, if they love it, they could show up. Amen. Least they could do is show up. Everybody okay? Amen. That burns me. Amen. That makes me a little ill. Amen. You love people and you try to put your arm around their neck and say, man, I'm going to come alongside and be your pastor, and they can't even show up for church. I'm a pastor, stay in the Bible, try to pray, try to live close and holy, and I promise you I can't make it on less than coming to church 3 times a week. Amen. They must be more spiritual than I am. Lord have mercy, this thing's crashing fast. Amen. You might as well look on up in here. Amen. Your youngins, my youngins, your aunts and uncles, or whoever it is, best friends. It don't matter. I can't help it. It's just right to show up and be invested in church. Paul said, I tell you what, I can count on them. Amen. If nobody else shows up, I know they'll show up. If nobody else gives, I know they'll be there at their offering ready to put it in. If nobody else gets down on knee and prays for their man of God, I know that they'll be up in the morning hours and they'll be up in, amen, on that before they go to bed. They'll be praying and investing themselves in what God is doing through my life. Amen. Boy, I'm glad I can look around tonight. These certain people, after a year, I can say, I can count on them. I believe I can count on them. After a year, I believe I can count on them. And y'all may disappoint me before it's over, and I'll probably disappoint you before it's over. But, amen, I believe there's some folk that's invested and involved and sticking their neck out for the man of God. Number 3, and I'm done. How about that? How am I doing, Brother Will? I'm about to amaze you, ain't I? Amen. They were involved in his ministry. They were invested in his ministry, but watch this, they were influential in his ministry. They just wasn't around. They were so involved and invested that they made an impact on what Paul was able to do. Now look on up in here. I'm going to tell you something. I want you to get a hold of it. Think about the great men of the Bible. Moses, Joshua, David. You say, boy, those are mighty men. They did great things. Here's what you do. Go read their stories. They ain't a one of them men accomplished what they accomplished by themselves. David had mighty men. Moses had Aaron and Hur and Joshua and other men that loved God and loved Moses and would hold his hands up and pray for him and get in the battle with him. Amen. Amen. Joshua, when he went, Joshua didn't fight them battles alone. There were men of war that was used around Joshua. Now watch it. Moses and Joshua and David get the credit for it. You say, well, that ain't fair. Yeah, but we ain't done. The score ain't all settled up yet. Amen. You stand before God, and I promise you, when Moses gets up there, God's going to say, Moses, you's a good old fella, one of the greatest leaders Israel ever had, but you couldn't do what you did without these other men standing by your side. Sometimes, and I'm not saying it's wrong, we elevate the pastor, the place where if the church is going good, man, it's just all on him. And then when it does bad, guess what? It's all on him. Can I tell you something? Whatever God does at Calvary Baptist Tabernacle, I know what they'll say, and I'll do my best. We'll all do, amen, fulfill our promise to honor God and give Him the glory. But no matter what men say, Brother Gerald, God help you, Pastor, to remember there are people that are influential. I cannot do what God sent me up here to do without you. Ain't no hip shooting cowboy. Ain't no lone wolf. I got to have people, Brother Chris. I got to have people that'll say, you know what? I'll get involved. I'll invest. I'll give till it hurts. I'll hazard myself. I'll make myself hurt just to take a little bit of pressure off the pastor. Just so we can do something for the glory of God. Watch this. Paul's thinking about him, and what's he say? Let me read it out of Gerald's Bible here. Notice what he said, verse 4, I'm done. Who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks. Paul is saying, I'm thankful for what they've done. They've made an impact in my life. He said, but it ain't just me thanking them. He said, everywhere I go, I'm able to tell them about the blessing Aquila and Priscilla has been to me. And the other saints of God that I come in contact with are stirred and challenged and actually thank God for them being in my life. You know what happens when you stick your neck out for the man of God and get involved and invested and you become influential, where your pastor is able to go to whatever camp meeting he gets invited to preach, or whatever church he gets invited to preach at revival, and stand up and say, I'm the pastor of one of the greatest churches in America. And they've stuck their necks out. They've taken care of the pastor. They back him. And you know what it does? It actually stirs and challenges those other congregations to do what you yourself has done. Amen. Lord's let me preach just a time or two, not meetings, but we get ready, start preaching some meetings. I promise you can get any recording you want to get of any revival I ever preach or camp meeting I preach. You'll never hear Brother Jeff run his church down. We can be having the worst of problems. I ain't going to run down my church. You know why? Because what's going on here, we're in this thing together. If I got issues in my family, I don't run around and tell you what the issues are in my family. It ain't none of your business. But I tell you the good stuff. I tell you about how my wife rubs my back every night. Whoa! I'm feeling about like going home right now. Amen. I tell you about, amen, my youngins and the good stuff they do. Why? Because I want them to be an example to others. I want them to know, I want the world to know I got one of the best families in the world. And I want, amen, I want the circles of religion that we run in to know Brother Jeff ain't ashamed of his church. What y'all have done today and how y'all care for your pastor, guess what? It makes an impact on other churches. Amen. I've only been your pastor a year. Come on the piano, sister. How'd it do, Brother Will? Are we at 8:15 yet? No, your clock ain't right. I've been your pastor a year. And Calvary has a name already just because of who your former pastor was and how y'all cared for him. And I get preachers, good preachers, preachers I look up to, calling saying, Brother Jeff, I'm down today. What do I do? And I just say, I told a preacher this week, he said, man, he said, I just don't know what to do. I said, brother, I'll pray for you, but I'm having the time of my life right now, so don't get me down. Don't depress me with all your problems, because, amen, I'm having a good time. And I told him, we began to talk about some things, and what you do makes an impact and an influence on other preachers, on other ministries, on other churches. Amen. Preacher, what do? Keep sticking your neck out for the man of God. Say, but I just, preacher, after a year, I'm done preaching, by the way. My time's done. I'm just talking. Amen. Say, preacher, I don't understand you. I don't get you. After a year, I just, well, just keep on trying. Amen. Amen. Just keep on trying. You'll get it. Amen. And you'll become one of those willing to just stick your neck out. Amen. That's how you ought to come into church Wednesday night. Sticking your neck out for the man of God. Can I tell you one thing? And then we're going to have a little time of prayer on the altar. I love you. I absolutely love my church. Now listen, don't go get on the phone and make these statements. I just don't know if Brother Jeff cares for me. I don't know if he loves me. That's the devil. That's the devil. Now, that's old devil getting on your shoulder and planting seeds in your mind. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't talk to you. Amen? Love you. Lord, there'll be somebody I didn't speak to today that's going to go home and say, he didn't talk to me today. He don't love me. I promise you I love you. If I ain't talking to you today, it's because I didn't have the opportunity. I love you. And if we're going to see greater things done in the second year and third year and years down the road, we got to understand we're in this thing together. Amen. I love you. My fellow helpers, my helpers in Christ Jesus, lay your necks down. Lay your necks down. And let's do a work for God. Would you stand with me? Let's do this. I know this is a different message. I can't tell if y'all are lacking these messages or you're not lacking. I hope you're lacking. If you're not lacking it, I'm sorry. Take it up with the Father. We need to pray tonight. We're going to give invitation this way. Let's get on the altar and let's pray. A year ago, we got on this altar and we said, Lord, help us as we get ready to move forward. And God has helped us. So let's thank Him for that. And then let's ask the Lord to help us in days to come, that God would continue to stir our hearts and unite us together. Amen. Pray, if you're able, pray on the altar. If you're not able to get down, please pray in your seat. Let's call on the Lord together. Time, church, and prayer.